Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Happy Monday, Atlanta. I hope you feel a lot better, especially after last week where we were all down in the dumps talking about all the issues with this team, Mike. And the best thing about yesterday was that the offense worked. It all came together. And what we've all been clamoring for, when is Drake going to do what Drake, you know, normally does? When is Kyle Pitts going to get a touchdown? When is Bijan going to do all the things? All of that happened, Mike, and the quarterback and Michael Penix looked great in doing it. 313 yards, 2 touchdowns, 20-26. It all came together.
Drake had his best game of the year. Bijan was 170 yards from scrimmage. You mentioned it. Pitts gets in the end zone. I mean, the only guy that probably was banged up again was Mooney, but everything else was clicking offensively. Defense was certainly getting them off the field. They only converted one of 8 third downs. I mean, it was everything you wanted. Now, special teams was hot garbage again. They got to get better on special teams,
yes,
man.
Yes.
And I didn't like some of the lack of aggressiveness by Coach Rob with his timeouts before the half, but that's nitpicking. You beat the Commanders after laying that ultimate egg up there in Charlotte. So we're not making excuses. They got injuries. We got injuries. We almost beat them last year at full strength. I don't want to hear about that, right? But I'll take a win. As bad as we looked, we feel better. Yes, there's certainly some things we've got to work on because we get a bye week, and then we get Buffalo. And Buffalo has got the most tough to get on the ground quarterback in the league in Josh Allen. So we got work to do.
Yeah, man. Look, this was a quality win yesterday coming off of one of the worst losses in franchise in the last decade for our franchise. So we needed this. And this idea, Mike, about pretty wins or we didn't blow these guys out, stop. Like, we needed to see this team respond, and they did that yesterday in a 34-27 win. The best part about yesterday was the fourth quarter when we drained the clock, Mike, and we needed to just keep them off the field and sustain the win. They got back into this. They made a couple of plays, guys. It's the NFL. But at the end of the day, I thought that was a big drive for us because you're learning how to win at the end of games.
Man, you ran seven minutes off, 6:51 to be exact, to Carl's point. And that's when you felt like, oh, the Commander's going to sneak back in this. Real quick, because I did this earlier with Carl, so I'll do it again. Run, 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 pass, run, run, pass, run, 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 run. That's good.
That's good. Goal.
See, that's balance. We talked about it. So whether it's in a pistol, whether it's in, you know, over center, and there were some plays where there were some handoffs and there was some good play action, I thought. But I thought, you know, getting the running backs a little bit closer to the line, we can debate the benefits of the pistol. We know that Dan Orlovsky, and we talked about it. When you lose 30-0, you're dissecting everything.
Everything.
But I mean, and by the way, I don't apologize for crapping on the Falcons after doing what they did. But the good news is they responded. And Zach said it. We heard the audio. He's basically kicking himself for not being on the sideline the whole season, which gets us back to maybe you should have worked this stuff out in the preseason. Regardless, they got it figured out.
Well, look, 435 yards yesterday of offense. And look, that's not the only thing, okay? We'll get more into the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up here in less than 6 minutes. But the offense was the big thing we had a question about. The offense coming off the Carolina game where you score 0 points was the thing we wondered. We wondered how our quarterback was going to bounce back. And more importantly, Mike, the heat we gave, and rightfully so, to our offensive coordinator. He deserved it because the offense was hot garbage last week.
Right.
Was he going to call plays and set up this offense to put us in a position to score points and, more importantly, score touchdowns? Forget about field goals. And, oh, by the way, let's give a shout-out to Parker Romo because he was perfect yesterday as well. So that wasn't a concern. But, guys, this feels good. And now we head into the bye week. Let's regroup, Mike, hopefully get healthy, And then we'll talk about Buffalo here at the end of the week and into next week, guys. But right now, I am like, all right, we needed to win this game. We said all week this was a must-win game, did we not?
Right. And, guys, we've said this a lot today. And this, you know me. I was losing my mind last week like Carl. There's a lot of teams right now trying to find themselves in the NFL. You know, the Ravens look horrible. They're 1-3. You know, 49ers just lost to Jacksonville at home. So, I mean, when you look at our schedule, some of the opponents we've got, the Dolphins tonight, they're the most schizophrenic team in football. Ray, we'll see them later this year. So there's a lot of teams. Now, I hate that we're 0-2, but to be 2-2 going to the first game, I think most of us thought the first quarter of the season, I think most people expect this to be 2-2. We just didn't know it was going to be those two, right?
Yes, I totally agree. 404-726-0929. Phone lines are open for you to chime in, guys. It is a Falcon Monday. And again, just want to know where you're at, how you feel about what you saw offensively yesterday. And is that the real offense? Is that what they're capable of every week? Can we put these kind of numbers up and get everybody involved? Because this is what Michael Penix was saying at the beginning of camp when he said, we should have one of the best offenses in the league. Yesterday, it looked like it. The week before, I don't know what the hell that was.
Everybody's going to have a bad one. We talked about rookies, you know, struggling, finding their way. So what's it? Burn the tape. But the things that we're learning about our team, you know, you got a really good dynamic defense. Another pick from Xavier Watts, good pick. He's got two already. So he's doing his thing. We talked about Divine Diablo, great free agent signing. Almost had another interception himself. You know, Caden Ellis, we had a couple of sacks. Now, yes, we wanted a little more pressure, but as Mike Smith would say, you can affect the quarterback without sacks. Yes, now I'm not saying they don't matter, Coach, but this was one where you got Mariota off the spot. He made some awful throws, which is kind of what he does when you give him pressure.
Mike, get off the field. It's third down. It's third down. Get off the field. 1-for-8 yesterday. I want you to hear a couple of things as we talk about the Falcons, and your phone calls again are welcome. We'll go around college football as well. We know Dogs lost Alabama. We spent a lot of time on that today. If you're just joining us, however you are accessing the show, thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Here's the deal. Raheem Morris had a lot to say, including Zach Robinson being on the sidelines. Look, I don't care how it works, as long as it works. If he's in the booth, great. If he's down on the sidelines, Mike, great. If he's handcuffed to Michael Penix, I don't care how it works.
Right.
Just make it work. And apparently this is what they needed. Here's what Ross said about Zach being on the sidelines.
It just feels good. You know, Zach brings a certain amount of energy to this football team. He brings a certain amount of energy to our offense. I mean, he just brings a certain amount of energy from the guy. You know, and I was happy to see him down there. I was happy to see us have success, be able to move the football, to bring his juice, get those guys closer together. That's something that we're going to move forward doing.
So what about our quarterback? Did he feel better? Because remember, the week before, he didn't have this. He did this week.
Yeah, it was good, you know, for him to be able to talk to me right there in front of me, you know, just showing me. I'm looking at the looks on the iPad, and, you know, he's going through play calls and stuff like that. You know, it was good to have, and I feel like it definitely it was something that helped us today.
Yeah, no doubt. And by the way, Penix, if you have any doubts, and I think we kind of tried to tell you this at camp, but it's hard when, you know, you're trying to tell people about the makeup of a person. He's not mentally weak. We don't have to worry about Michael Penix falling apart after a bad performance and not showing up the next week. He just showed you that. And for all the conversation about him last week, he's going to be a dude. And so I say that, Mike, because this was a prove-it moment for him to come out. Man, was that an efficient 313 or what? I mean, he just threw the ball around the yard like he was playing in his backyard yesterday.
The only pick, you know, again, he want that back, just put a little more air on it. He also made a beautiful throw. I mean, throwing the ball 40 yards down on the run, moving to his left, putting a ball that I want to say, was that Mooney or was it Drake? Couldn't come down with it, couldn't get 2 feet down. But, I mean, he's making throws. We know he's capable of dropping dimes. That's what made last week just so inexplicable, the flat-footed throws, you know, just maybe born out of frustration. But the good news is, whatever you had to do to get things turned around, you did. Now build on this. You know, I mean, the problem we have to do, we have a mountain to climb to win the division, but there's still a lot of football to be played, guys. Just 4 games in. Now, as we said, do what you did yesterday. You got to tighten up special teams. You can't have your defense dealing with these short fields because they're getting 50 yards on every return.
Yeah. Look, you said this when they let go of Ike Hilliard. You said, I think they should be probably talking to their special teams coach.
I know that everyone says he's a wonderful person, and I got to tell you, I mean, if you're looking for accountability, it doesn't look right. I mean, in 3 of the 4 games, we've had special teams gaffes.
That's right.
You know, and so that's, you know, that's a concern. So Marquise Williams has been around. He's been, he's a lifer in the league. But, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I want everybody's butt in my briefcase today, but I said on Twitter because I was frustrated yesterday watching the game, why don't you fire him?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to do a better job.
By the way, if you're wondering, special teams kickoff team allowed, just a kickoff team, a total of 199 yards in return yardage yesterday, including a 58-yarder. That was huge. And literally, you know, you look at yesterday's game and somebody, you know, they were saying to us earlier, follow Mike and Mike Bell, ATL, I'm at, put him up, see Dukes. They were saying we should have won in a more convincing fashion. Big plays killed us. 58-yard kickoff return. Fourth down, you give up a touchdown, Marcus Mariota to Debo in the back of the end zone. Big plays. Mariota, it's first and forever, or fourth and forever, or whatever it was. Third, he runs for a huge first down, Mike, when they were way behind the chains. It was a first down and 30 to start that drive. It was those kind of plays that allowed him to stay alive. But the special teams, I totally am on point with you. We got to look at that this week going into Buffalo in the bye week and get fixed.
No, this team has got a lot of work to do, guys. We're not sitting here, guys, beating a team without Jaden Daniels, as we said. We're not making excuses. We don't apologize for wins. But I don't know what you're hearing. Carl and I aren't saying, hey, it's now Super Bowl-bound Falcons. No, they got to do more work. But the young defense is coming together. All your stars that you drafted all these years are playing like rock stars. Pitts is having an impact on the game. Penix is doing the stuff. Now, again, why it took the coaching staff so long to figure out to get the offensive coordinator on the sideline? Okay, we can ask, you know, coach about that next week. Now we can enjoy the bye, get ready for Buffalo.
What did you take from Georgia's loss to Alabama at home? And do you think that this is a loss that's going to haunt them? We're going to talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about the Falcons with you after a big win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They'll play the Bills on Monday night after the bye week. 34-27 was the final score. And talking with you at 404-726-0929. I'll tell you that there was a little bit of, chops being busted between the Falcons themselves with a big college football weekend. This is kind of funny, Mike. Brandon Dorlus, who went to Oregon, wore all Oregon everything to the game yesterday. Sweatshirt, sweatpants, shoes.
To bust Ebiketie's chops?
And when asked, yo, what are you doing wearing all this? He was like, is this about Arnold Ebiketie, who's a Penn State grad? He was like, yep, and it's all white. So we clowned him because they had the all-white game, and obviously Oregon ended up winning that game in overtime. A great college football game. We're going to talk about the Dogs coming up. Want to grab Brandon on the line here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in Kennesaw. Brandon, how are you feeling about the Falcons? What did you think about the performance yesterday?
What's going on, man? Appreciate the time. First of all, I just want to say I told myself I'm not getting emotionally involved this year with the Falcons. That's neither here nor there. But I am definitely am happy that they won, man. I still have this, like, this bad feeling in my gut every time they play. It's like I'm holding my breath. It kind of seems like I just hopefully we can find some more consistency. I still have any little questions about the coaching decisions. Kind of like, for example, when we're going into the half, we had all our timeouts.
Yep.
It's like, are we taking a knee or are we taking a shot? We're not doing either. We go back in the half with two timeouts.
Right.
I don't
can't
know,
bank them. Right.
I mean? Yeah, so all around I feel good, man. Just hopefully we can find some consistency and rise up, guys. Appreciate it.
Rise up,
you got it. The Commanders were trying to move the ball again. Looking right now, the sequence he's talking about was minute 41, first and 10. They go no huddle. They get it down to it's at the Washington 33. They run the ball for 2 yards, and then we could have taken a timeout right there. We let the clock run from 1:16 down to 40 seconds. And then eventually we do burn a timeout, but by that point it's too little too late.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. It just felt like the urgency before the half. If you're going to take a lead into the half, great. Let's just take a knee, sit on it, and keep it moving. But it was almost like, okay, let's see what we can do. All right, we're not doing anything. What do you want to do here?
17-10 is the score. Let's go pedal to the metal.
Yeah,
let's go make it 20. Let's make it 20-10 because, you know, because the Commanders, if you call a timeout, you're getting the ball back with over a minute.
Yep.
And then maybe you get in a field goal range the way Penix is throwing that thing all over the place. Commanders is not an elite defense, guys. They made some amazing run last year to get to the NFC Championship game. But Dan Quinn's defense, it's not a great defense. So we did what we should have done against it.
Totally agree. Let's shift gears, Mike, and talk a little bit about the Dogs. Tomorrow, Connor Riley's going to join us from Dog Nation. We're going to dive deeper into this because there is, look, when you lose, regardless of what the score is, and it was a great game, right? 24-21. Mm-hmm. But there's scrutiny that comes along with an L. And part of that scrutiny is Georgia couldn't figure it out defensively against Alabama, specifically on third downs. When they go 13 for 19 on third down conversions, guys, that's moving the chains. So this loss, outside of the whole Kirby narrative, Mike, which is, you know, he's 1-for-7, he can't beat Bama.
The Alabama thing.
And it's surreal. I hear you. But that was the biggest problem. They couldn't get off the field on third down, but then it comes down to a series of plays, Mike, where you have to make a decision. Do I kick a field goal and tie the game, right, or do we try to take command of the game?
I don't mind them going for it. I got no problem with them going for it because you couldn't get Alabama off the field. Now, granted, Alabama didn't score any points in the second half, but it seemed like it, didn't it?
It did.
You couldn't get back on the field.
Yeah.
But I got no problem with going for it there. Just the play doesn't pass the eye test. You know, I mean, and by the way, why you got better athletes than Cash for that job? You got burners, you got wideouts. You want to go cute? I know Kirby said he'd run it a million times. It has success against Tennessee, but you know, with your offensive line and its present composition, guy just blew it up. Guy missed a block, and that thing's dead on arrival.
Yeah, look, I and this stuff always is debatable, right? When it doesn't go your way, I would call the timeout and make sure I got the right personnel in there, got the right running back, the right – if you want to run the play, run the play. If you feel that confident about the play, run the play. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, at least I had the right people on the field. Mm. Now, you're going to say, Dukes, it allows them to – Alabama – to get their guys on the field to counter because you're trying to match personnel up, right? But if you go hurry up, which they did, Mike, Alabama doesn't get a chance to do that, and maybe we catch them off guard. It didn't play out that way. I don't feel like that decision, again – was the deciding factor. It was a big decision. But, guys, a defense to get dominated the way they did in the first half, Mike, and all those third down conversions, that's the game, fellas.
And that's the thing. I mean, look, the Tennessee game, they put, boom, 14-0. Alabama's at 14-0 in your house. So a lot of folks, and Connor Riley wrote an interesting article for Dog Nation. He'll join us tomorrow at 4 o'clock, basically saying Schumann is not as aggressive as Georgia's defenses have been in the last couple of years. And maybe, you know, there's something where I know a lot of Georgia fans are going, please, Will Muschamp, come out of your consultancy. Now he's watching his son play for the Commodores up in Vandy. But, yeah, a lot of folks just feeling, man, do you – and I've asked you this question a few times. It's about the line. Sam Pittman just got fired at Arkansas. Love to get him back in the mix at some role at Georgia to help their line because he's just one of the best offensive line coaches in all of football, right? No one debates that.
No doubt.
And they need some help. You know, and I know they've got some injuries and issues there. The other thing was the plays that they left on the field. The yards after catch. You know, every time they went man-to-man, you're like biting your nails if you're a Georgia fan. They go through zone, they're just carving you up. Simpson was finding the open man. Then there's the Taylor drop. I know the kid's only a freshman, but my God. And I get it. You know, Ryan Williams also dropped one, too. But I don't care about him. Taylor catches that. It's 28-24.
Yeah.
And you've not Alabama's not scoring on you in the second half. Those are the plays that Georgia just could not make happen.
Let me say this. In those games, when you get in a game like that, there's nobody in the huddle looking at you and going, hey, freshman, you're on the field. Trust me. No, you are on the field. You can play. There's nobody in the huddle going, hey, freshman. Technically, that's how you are labeled. But when you're on the field, Mike, these are the 11 best guys on the field right now that we need to make a play. So I just feel like, you know, that was a big moment. He drops it. Let me ask you, go back to Schumann for a second. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're not being aggressive for two reasons. One, you don't have the dudes. Don't know if they do. And I'm talking about as a whole. This defense, you already know this, Georgia fans. It's not as good as it was. You know this. It's just what it is. It doesn't mean they can't win or they won't. Two, you're afraid, Mike, to give up the big play, and therefore it stalls your aggressiveness. You saw Ty Simpson being able to deliver the ball. You're gonna go all out blitz against that and against those wide receivers? I'm not doing that. I'm not letting those guys over the top. So I think he was kind of in between in this game. Like, we got to pick our spots. And when they did, Simpson beat them. And I don't think they have enough dudes, okay, to be as aggressive as they want to. You can do that when you got two big guys up front commanding the line of scrimmage. They just don't have that.
And then, you know, Connor Riley's talking about, you know, a brain drain on your coaching staff on the defensive side of the football, the aggressiveness. And Carl said, you just laid it out. Don't have the athletes. You had two levels of five-star. The years you went back-to-back natties, it could come in. Guys, it could basically totally disrupt the line of scrimmage and dominate it. You don't even have anything close to that right now for Georgia. The other thing, and I saw E.J. Manuel talked about this on the College Football Final on ESPN, Stockton is missing open receivers still.
Mm.
And he, especially in zone coverage, he's got to trust himself. And that's something, you know, Kirby talked about. It's not like he was pulling it up to run. He just wasn't seeing the field. So that's got something that Bobo's going to have to work on.
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Big shout out to Georgia Tech. Big win against Wake, 30-29 in overtime. Again, if you casually just tuned in, you might not have seen how this played out. A lot of people think, Mike, the refs, the ACC refs, were a disaster.
Yeah, they were not good. Now, by the way, I think Florida State deserved what they got. First game where, you know, Gus Malzahn could not handle a blitz. And Castellanos said, just like Kirby, Castellanos says it's good. There's some guys with the big heads running around here and needed a reality check. Well, here comes your reality check. It's called the U. But getting back to Tech did not fall into the trap. But you're right. The offsides, no call against Wake. All six Wake Forest fans are really upset, Carl. Feel bad for those two dozen kids who really wanted to storm the field. But, yeah, like, ACC officials are the worst in college, second only to the SEC, who I thought was horrible. I don't want to feel sorry for LSU. I thought the ball was uncatchable on the pass interference. It was the pick six.
I did too.
But they didn't feel that way. But yeah, ACC officials were not great. And Brent Key's squad will take advantage. But then if you're a Georgia Tech fan, how many years do you feel you've been screwed?
Absolutely.
By ACC officiating? Going back to Paul Johnson's time.
Yeah. And look, you had to make a play as they went for two in overtime. You did. You get the interception. Bleep, ball game's over. It's not they handed the game to you.
Kicker missed one, but you're not an elite offense if you're Wake. I would have kicked and extended the game.
No.
But I know everybody loves the 2-point. Data, you feel the same?
Yeah, I thought they should. Well, that game ended with an interception in overtime, and so did the Penn State Oregon game, right? Yeah, it was great. It was a really interesting weekend. Dog fans, more on the Dogs tomorrow. We'll dive deeper into college football and the impact of and the polls. Georgia's going to drop. I still think Georgia's going to be in the playoff. Nothing has changed for me. They played a really determined Alabama team with a great game plan.
And guys, if you watch Ohio State, they were sleepwalking for three quarters against Washington.
Yep.
There's nobody who looks elite. If you liked Lanning, that's a big win going into Happy Valley for Oregon. But no one believes Dan just yet to be over there. Just like with the Falcons, it's early days. Alabama fans let him chirp. Carl made a great statement earlier. I don't want to steal your thunder. But Carl basically said, Alabama fans were crying about firing DeBoer 2 weeks ago. Now they love him.
Make up your mind. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to say this, too, because you know Jerome that we see up in Buford, Mike, at Hooters?
Jerome, yeah, the guy that's a big Alabama fan
Jerome,
who never has enough money on his pocket make a bet.
This is true. Jerome, man, get a life, all right? Stop texting and tweeting and doing all the things you were doing after the Alabama win, all right? He is just glowing right now. He is just, it's just, and that's how Alabama fans feel. It's interesting. I'll say this as we talked about the Georgia Alabama game. The Kirby deal for me, and I don't know how you feel, and we'll ask Connor about this, and you know, we'll get more into it tomorrow, but I've said this. Georgia fans, since Kirby was hired, have never wavered. We act like this was all gravy. We forget. He took over 2015. He was like, there's some work to do.
Right.
He didn't come in winning national championships, but he turned it around so quickly, Mike, and they were competing for national championships fairly quickly in his tenure. And the debate with DeBoer is he loses the unranked teams, and he doesn't win, you know, big games. And then, obviously, last year when they had a chance to go to the playoff and they thought they had a playoff-caliber team, they don't go. So he's got to prove to Alabama fans that he can get them there. First of all, I'm talking about not just in the playoff. That's not the Alabama standard. He's got to win chips. That's the standard. So I just feel like for Kirby, nothing for me, and I know the losses, as you said, it's a thing. We're using these air quotes.
The Alabama thing.
The thing. But the losses, they don't mean anything to me because, again, Kirby is a championship caliber coach, and he's proven it over and over and over already. But maybe they'll see each other down the road. And by the way, it's great for college football if they do.
Right. I mean, I don't think Georgia fans will turn on Kirby the way Clemson fans have turned on Dabo.
Correct.
But Dabo, it's been, you know, there's a level of performance that is expected. You know, when you're going and winning 11 games every year and you're, you know, you're in the semifinal.
Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while.
I mean, Kirby Kirby's not ready to go full Richard Nixon. You won't have me to kick around anymore, and you won't find another coach who's elite. But no, I mean, that's going to happen. But there is the changing landscape. The one that got his mentor to leave Alabama because he didn't like the way the thing was going. You just don't have the things in place that helped you win back-to-back national championships. Now, Connor's going to join us tomorrow from Dog Nation. How much of a brain drain on the defensive side of the ball do you need, you know, a little more? I had no problem with Bobo's game plan against Tennessee. I didn't like every aspect of it this week, if I'm honest, against Matt. What do you think of Bobo's game plan, by the way? Well, I got nothing bad to say about Bobo. This weekend?
No, but
we all disagree. I mean, sorry, you and I agree. We don't like that fourth down play call.
No, I again, it may have been the right play. I just didn't like the way that they went about it. Mike, the defense made it hard on the offense this week. The defense made it hard on the offense. One, the defense was on the field a lot more, specifically in the first half and even in the second when Bama would drive, even though they weren't scoring. I just didn't feel like and when you talk about Bobo, compare the things you saw with Alabama from a play-calling standpoint compared to what you saw with Georgia. Did it seem a little bit conservative?
It just seemed like Alabama was one step ahead of Georgia on everything, right? Okay. We just talked about how it just seemed like they were dictating the tempo. They were getting everything they wanted. They ran a gadget play with a lineman that was just, wow, look at this.
Okay.
There was imagination. Now, again, some of this Bobo might have dialed the right things, and Gunner didn't see it, you know? So I don't want to put it all on Bobo's shoulders. But, you know, the other things, which Bobo has no control over, Frazier puts it on the ground.
No, that's a big play. That's a big play. But
you know, the Taylor drop, you know? They dialed up Bobo dialed up the right play. Gunner's over 200 yards passing if he makes that, which all of a sudden becomes sort of a thing, which, oh, he didn't even go for 200 yards. But, I mean, that's not on Bobo. His guys didn't make – Bama players executed better than Georgia players
they
did.
They did, but I also feel like where Ryan Grubb – and this is where you give him credit. Now, can he continue this all season long? Don't know, because they didn't do it at Florida State.
He did not have an answer for Florida State.
Okay, but where Georgia was in just the game planning and in-game stuff, it felt like, for me, Mike, reactive. They weren't being proactive. Grubb and his team, they were being proactive. We're going to give you a new look, something different to look at. Here, take a look at this. We're going to give you a different formation. Hey, take a look at this. We're going to send a different wide receiver. And all of a sudden, it's like I needed that from Bobo, even though you said there were some plays that were left on the field. It felt like, okay, I don't know if we're going to do that or not. I just want him to let his hair down, man. That's how I feel. I felt like Ryan Grubb and Alabama came in on Saturday night, and they let their hair down. They were like, we're doing all these things, and this is how we're going to roll.
They played loose.
And we didn't. What's up, O?
You know what it reminded me of watching Georgia on defense? It reminded me of the Tech game last year, Tennessee last week, where Buster Faulkner and Tennessee, they did every crazy thing motion-wise to give Georgia an idea of what was going to come, and they did something else.
It was
so much misdirection and so much motion, and just you were able to catch Georgia off guard so many times. That's the eye candy beforehand. And if I don't know if that's the way now you have to go out there and play offense against a Kirby Smart-led defense, but you're just going out there and you're just giving all these different looks, and you have no idea where the ball is going to come from when the ball snaps.
And look, there's no debating. They were better. The defense was better in the second half, right? Mike's talking about, you didn't score. I mean, like, you went from scoring to all of a sudden you're driving, but you're not scoring. So they did make the adjustments, but offensively, if you're asking me about Bobo, that's what I didn't feel. I didn't feel like the tennis, right. Let your hair down. We're doing all these things.
The game was, that's the thing, the game was there for the taking at 24-21. The drop touchdown pass. Then, you know, as we said, Alabama, 9 plays, 49 yards, but they burned 5 minutes off the clock.
Clock, yep.
You know, end of the game. You know, they're able to throw that third down pass. I think it was Cam, the running back, got it. And Georgia comes up with that thing that just looks so feeble on 4th and 1. The execution, the running up. I understand, trying to catch a flat. You're not getting Alabama will be ready for that, okay? That's why, to me, it just felt a little desperate. That's why I'm with you. I don't want to call a timeout, but I don't want to do that, you know, as far as how you're going to get ready for that play.
Well, look.
And where are your playmakers? I mean, Cassius.
They're not on the field. That's why you got to call a timeout to get them on the field.
Right.
That's just me, Mike. I just feel like if that's the biggest moment in the game, okay, if this is the last shot of the game, are you just going to leave your guys out there? You're going to get your star in the game. Like, get timeout.
I mean, Chauncey Bowens showed you that he is something special in that game. Now, maybe they'll dial him up down the road. I said, you know, Zachariah Branch. I mean, there's another guy. I mean, and I just thought he was woefully underutilized.
Yeah.
5 touches for Zach. He is your portal guy. This is the guy everybody's talking about. Is this amazing athlete. You can use him anywhere in the field. What happened? Now, did Gunner not see him when he was available, or just was his number not called properly by Bobo?
You guys can hit us up. Mike Bell, ATL. Put him up. See Dukes and at Dukes and Bell, 929. Many ways to get at us. Let me let you hear Kirby talking about this 1-7 thing. For those who don't know, 1-7 versus Alabama. Again, most of that was Nick Saban. But now he's got 2 L's against DeBoer. Last year in Tuscaloosa, now this year in Athens. Here's what he said when he was asked the question this weekend.
I mean, what's everybody else's record against him? You got it? I don't either. Like, I don't lose sleep over that, because those games have been like championship caliber games, right? And even when we play in the regular season, they've been. I just saw 25 scouts out there. They're all there to watch these teams play. So that's not going to affect me. Like, I'm going to be happy and just go lucky if our team comes back and plays well. That's what I worry about.
Now, I mean, it's a bit of a deflection, because an ABC ran the graphic, Carl. SEC championship, national championship. I mean, these are games. But that's another thing. These are games where the stakes were so high.
They are. And I was going to say, he's not lying. What he's saying, and to paraphrase, and Kirby, you know, tell it in a different way maybe. I get the sense, Mike, he's saying the magnitude of a regular season game feels like a playoff game, feels like a championship game. Mm. You guys know when we battle, it can go either way. I don't lose sleep over that. If we're losing to lesser opponents, I'll lose sleep over that.
Right.
That's what he's telling you. If I lose to an FBS school that's not on point with us, I'm going to lose sleep over that. But we're playing Alabama. These games can go either way. You guys know that. So I'm not tripping off of that. That's what I get from Kirby.
But, you know, the big picture, and as we said, you know, Kalen DeBoer, they're ready to run him out of town after losing in Tallahassee, and now everyone in Alabama's they're happy again. But you look at, you know, the as we said, the Dabo comparison. All of a sudden, Notre Dame's pushing you around in a Sugar Bowl. You lose to Ole Miss in sloppy conditions last year. You don't pass the eye test. You're not kicking everybody's ass, is like, I guess what it means. Your home win streak just got snapped. You know, I think the solution for Kirby is more brain power.
Okay.
I think there's better coaches out there. I think you get Pittman back in the mix. You go beef that old lineup, get the depth, you know, and at least in some areas. You're not going to have, in the transfer portal era and NIL, you're not going to be 3 deep everywhere anymore. But there's some areas I think that can be improved.
Look, you lost Dan Lanning. You were in the playoff. You lost Fran Brown. You were in the playoff. You lost Mel Tucker. You right. won chips. There's been no fall off because of the assistants that are there leaving. The one,
but is it starting now?
But I don't know. One loss, I'm not ready to go there, because again, they've lost before in the regular season. But the one consistent in Alabama, and I think Kirby, he took this and he knows, was Nick Saban. Nick Saban had numerous assistants that came in and out of that mm-hmm. program. Guys have left Kirby. There's been no fall. They're a playoff team. So I don't know if that's the answer, or, Mike, is it just the fact that, you know what, It's right here. I mean, so it's right there for the taking. They make that play. We're talking about this in a different way today.
And that's the other thing. It's not the end of the world. Now, some easier said than done to some Georgia fans out there, because it feels like the end of the world. There's going to be there's parity in college football. We just mentioned, you know, Ohio State didn't look like world beaters. You know, we just saw Penn State do what they do best. You know, I mean, there's ample chances now for Georgia to win out. Now, again, no slip-ups. Old Miss now looks like a pretty interesting game all of a sudden, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't think – everybody was telling me in college football, like, they're good. Simmons is going to be good. We didn't know the Chambliss, was the backup, was this good. But the old defensive line last year was the reason why they were able to do what they did. I don't know if you're watching Ole Miss. They look pretty good.
Look, Miami looks pretty good. They'll get the test again at Florida State. You know, hey, Texas could lose to Florida, for crying out loud, if they don't
have
the P's and Q's.
Hush your mouth.
So there's plenty of football to be played. It's just because it's this thing with Alabama that it just, I think that's why Georgia fans are just so literally, it's like a white knuckle grip on the steering wheel today going to work.
All right. And by the way, I'm going to defend this. I'm going to defend Kirby. Have they been blown out and humiliated in any of these games, these big games?
No, they were one stupid play call and a special teams play from. They could have beaten Notre Dame without even having their fastball.
Yeah, his teams have been right there, and it comes down to those moments, man. If the freshman catches the ball, what does this look like?
Yeah, but last year the freshman caught the ball for Alabama, and that's why you lost to Alabama.
I know.
I mean, that's the thing.
Well,
you know,
and he's now a sophomore, but he missed a ball that was wide
open.
Huge
play.
Yeah. So it was crazy, man. All right, we got to get out of here and make way. Turtle, by the way, short show tonight. We've got Monday Night Football coming your way. We are your home for the NFL, so make sure you stay tuned,
hey,
guys.
Violence. You want to hear some violence? Dolphins defensive coordinator has promised there will be violence.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies, there will be blood.
All of our problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence.
Yeah, that's the most hilarious thing I've heard. Now,
PJ O'Rourke famously wrote, give war a chance, Carl.
Let's see if they bring that violence tonight, because they've been pretty soft. But we got Monday Night Football. Who do you like, by the way? Cincinnati at Denver? You like Miami tonight? Who do you like?
I mean, I dropped Bo Nix from my fantasy team because he's just too schizophrenic. We'll see what happens there. But the Dolphins. If Dolphins are going to get things turned around, it's the Jets, and it's a perfect game for them. And it was a Tyrod Taylor, right, Day-Day? He's going for the Jets at QB because Justin Fields is still jammed up.
Yeah.
Need a big night from Garrett Wilson.
Justin's not back tonight. I think he is.
Is he back?
I think Justin Fields is back.
Justin,
tonight.
I need Garrett Wilson early and often. I need 24 points from Garrett Wilson.
Yeah,
but enough about me.
I think he's back from the concussion. Okay. It should be fun to see. Miami's desperate, and Denver's at home. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, guys. Make sure you tune in starting at 2. All right, Big O, let's get out of here and clear our throat. Tomorrow, big show, guys. Dave Archer stops by as we recap Falcons and look ahead. We got to get A.J. Terrell healthy, and now all of a sudden, we got to get Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Healthy. Darnell has not been healthy, and so that is a question mark during the bye week. We'll talk to Arch about all the things and why were things so much better this week. Also, our buddy Connor Riley's going to stop by from Dog Nation. Plenty more college football conversation tomorrow here on the show. Make sure you tune in at 2. All right, Big O, great job behind the glass. My man, Day-Day, executive producing. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
We just spent 10 minutes talking about Georgia and the Alabama thing, and it's a thing. But you know what's the worst thing than that? Is a 4-21 thing against top 10 opponents. And that's where James Franklin is living. And again, they can bounce back and they'll probably be in the playoffs because everything's kind of rigged for the Big Ten of the SEC to have multiple teams in. But if you're a Penn State fan, you're saying, what is it going to take? Year after year after year, they just lay big eggs in big moments, and Drew Aller was horrible. Now, again, they can get it right, but if you're a Penn State fan, do you really feel that Franklin is the guy that's going to get you over the top?
For the first time in a long time, there are expectations for our Atlanta Hawks. Today was media day, which means the season is right around the corner. Trae Young, Porzingis, JJ, that's Jalen
Johnson. State your source.
Taking pictures, doing all the things for the big screen you'll see at Hawks games this season. But none of that matters if this doesn't come together. Dyson Daniels, an all first-team defensive guy, you for the first time have the pieces to really do something in the Eastern Conference. I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you are truly not elite.
All of our problems that we need to solve can be solved through violence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.